Kosana Magade, the inventor of Vodacom's Please Call Me service, returns to the Constitutional Court on Thursday for the second time in the battle for compensation for his idea. Vodacom is hoping the Apex Court can overturn the decision of the Supreme Court of Appeals, which found in favor of Magade, setting aside the 47 million rand or compensation which Magade rejected in 2019, and ordering Vodacom to make a fresh offer to him, which could be 9.4 billion rand or even more. Our senior journalist Isaac Mahlangu sat down with Magade ahead of Thursday's hearing before the Constitutional Court.
You are going back to the Concord in just over a week's time. How do you feel about that? Is there something you do to prepare yourself mentally, spiritually? Are you going to make sure you go to church this Sunday? Like, what is it that you're going to do just to prepare yourself for this journey? It has gone full circle.
Yeah, I think from our side, ready is because I'm always either in court or out of court. For me, it's almost like business as usual now to be in court. So this week is obviously just preparation and going through court documents and reading court documents and making sure that, relevant sections of the record, we are is top of mind and we are able to go and access those things quite quickly when we get to court. Yeah, so I'll be assisting the team basically in that particular way. And obviously it's also consultations with the legal team that are happening and that have been happening that will continue into next week. It's part of the preparation. But mentally, I think for me, it's really being at ease. I mean, I'm not having sleepless nights at all about going to the CC. I think as a team, we know where we are and the strength of our case.
But are you able not to think about this? Are you able to have a day where you don't think about this?
It's impossible. I mean, it's impossible and not to think about this daily. I mean, it's something that has been with me forever. So there will always be constant reminders, whether it's from people or whether it's from the team, the legal team, especially now leading up to the CC. You'd obviously think about it almost every day because you're working on the case.
Doesn't that make you anxious? Or is it just normal? It's not normal for you?
Yeah, I think it's normal now. It's normal. It's part of work. Actually, not thinking about the case, not reading on the case will make me anxious. I'm better off when I'm reading and reminding myself in terms of what we have in the record and where things are, if we have everything in the record that we plan to use. That we've made reference to. So those things are key. So I'm spending time with the record. I mean, for the coming 2 weeks, I'll be spending time with the record.
How many pages are those? Like, how many pages do you have to go through? Are we talking thousands? Are we talking hundreds?
For the CC now is 3,000, the record.
We took 3,000 odd pages.
3,000, yeah. So it was 4,000, 7,000 at Hughes. So it has gradually decreased slightly.
Okay, then there's 7,000
pages at Judge Hughes, went to about just over 3,000, and now we are on 3,000. Between 3 and 4,000. Yeah, over 3 and 4,000. Now we are on 3,000.
So basically, if you were to write an exam about Vodacom's case, you think you can pass it? About what they're trying to argue this?
Yeah, no, I think for me, I mean, it's probably much easier. Because I've lived with the case and the record and those papers for many years and constantly going to them. So they are almost like second nature. But, I mean, the team will call me and ask me, where is this and that? Where do you think this and that? You know, so I'm one person in the team who remembers the record quite well.
So you are very exposed to the legal team.
So I'm a resource to the legal team, especially for references. And some documents that they may require and where those documents are. So that's my role in the main. Except for the fact that I do understand the case quite well because I've lived it. So I will remember, even verbatim ways that were said at the High Court, this day. I mean, what the judge said at what time and whatever. No, I've never missed an appearance. I've been in all the appearances.
Are we talking 100 days in court or way more?
You.
Like ever since it started.
Then there's also arbitrations that I had to go to.
Or other things, yeah.
To this. So, somebody was calculating the other time that actually waiting for judgments, if you were to collate the time, it's about 3 years or 4 years, between 3 and 4 years, we spent that waiting for judgments. in this case over the years? I think the end is near. I mean, being at the highest court in the land, I think we're closer to finality. We're now at the apex court. And I mean, we had to take this route, which culminated into 8 years. I mean, I was counting the other time after the 2016 judgment and the determination of the CEO. If you were to take that time just to get this matter settled, has been 8 years to finalize it. I mean, for Vodacom to spend the amount of money that they've spent in this case, whether in legal fees or in experts that they've employed, in order to do that, I mean, to safeguard themselves from a 47 million payout.
Doesn't make sense.
It's nonsensical. You know, it's nonsensical. It's nonsensical. I mean, even just reflecting on my own costs and costs of experts and legal teams and stuff like that, it's just ridiculous.
No.
It's ridiculous. So I guess that's why I don't get from my close people, I mean, what this thing, they understand exactly what it takes to run a 16-year legal battle that does not only include legal teams, but external experts. I mean, we had to fly and bring Zatkovich to the country, a U.S. expert. We had to consult with Gary Ball, a U.S. expert as well, before he used to get some reports and views. So, and Vodacom was doing the same thing. I mean, they were in Australia consulting with some Australian guys who gave them reports and stuff. They are called Frontier. They had to fly in some German expert, Daniel Hoppe, to come and tell us about German law and stuff and all those things. So it just does not reconcile. Yeah.
Yeah, but I saw in their papers now they're saying, this is worth 80 million when you put the more interest.
Interest, yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, that's Vodacom, yeah. But I mean, I think they've spent well over 100 million, if not more, on this case. Man hours from their executives, experts, legal teams that they've been paying, the experts that they've brought on. Yeah, they've spent a lot of money in this matter. I'll be shocked if it doesn't exceed 200 million, but it's what it is.
Yeah, and then you're going back to the Concord. Surely you never saw yourself going back then.
Yeah, I never saw myself. Actually, I mean, I thought our appearance before the CEO will finalize the matter. But I mean, it obviously shocked us. We're all shocked to the core when we got a determination that the CEO gave to us. But I think we had, even during negotiations, given the attitudes of the Vodacom negotiators, it was always alive to us that we may need a judicial review.
Oh, you mean you that was alive to you as negotiations were happening?
Yeah.
Based on the attitude or...
Attitude. I mean, we'd been told, it's in my papers, we'll be told that... talking about judgments, the 2016 judgments in those negotiations, it's a waste of time. It's not going to make us progress, you know. That's Vodacom's posture, you know. It's not going to make us progress. So just put the judgments aside, and then we talk as if there was never judgments, you know. That was the attitude. So we knew from then that a judicial review was a possibility, not a certainty, but a possibility. And then, when we went and appeared before the CEO in 2018, around October, we thought that he can bring this matter to an end. I mean, it appeared as if, with his posture there, that he was fair-minded, he was going to bring this matter to an end, but the result, basically sided more towards, with Vodacom than, you know, trying to be an independent arbitrator, in that matter. And yeah. We knew that review is now a certainty upon getting that determination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Vodacom went to the SCA,
yeah,
appealing a huge judgment, and then they left the SCA with a worse judgment for their case. What's your take on that? Because that judgment favored you. Like, what the SCA...
Which judgment?
The SCA. SCA judgment. Yeah. It favored you more than... Or I think it brought better clarity,
yes,
than what Hughes had ruled.
Yeah, remember Hughes had referred the matter. She took our option two before her,
yeah,
and referred the matter back to the CEO with the shekels.
Yeah.
Certain directives.
Yeah, but then what the SCA now has done,
yeah,
kind of says, we are here the parameters in a way, more than what you and...
No, definitely. SCA has brought more clarity,
yeah,
onto the table than what Judge Hughes had done.
And that's what Vodacom is arguing, that SCA went into issues that it's not supposed to delve into.
Yeah.
I know you have a different view.
No, we disagree. We disagree, yeah, because you look at what Vodacom took to the SCA. They were complaining about the second element of the Becker test, which the second leg of the Becker test was not done. What the SCA did is to apply the second leg of the Becker test and actually made Vodacom successful, partially successful, in their appeal. But once the SCA had done that, it means that they were already in the shoes of Hughes to then look at the entire matter and decide on the matter. And that's what they did. They then decided on the matter that was before Hughes, because they corrected Judge Hughes, you know. Once they were partially successful and seen the heads, it meant that the SCA was then at large to then determine the matter based on where Hughes had gone wrong. And then they determined the matter, they made more clarity, and they provided us with the judgment, which the Vodacom does not like. I'm feeling upbeat, I think I must say. Mm. I'm feeling upbeat. I think there is... given how the CC has conducted and provided that with instructions and has been dealing with all sorts of applications as well, I think there's a determination to finalize the matter from the CC's side. And for me, that's a huge relief that I can at least get to the highest court in the land, finalize the matter, and know that the matter is final and it can't go anywhere else. Yeah. So that for me, I mean, it's what I look forward to. It's finality, and to then chart another chapter in my life away from litigating with Vodacom.
It's being like an accountant.
To chart another, to really start another journey, away from litigating with Vodacom would be a big relief. And I think the CC can bring finality in that regard for all parties concerned. I'm sure they are tired of me as well. You know, because every time Vodacom, every time their logo comes up, whether it's in socials, on Twitter and whatever, my name has to hover around that all the time. And I don't want that to be the case.
Yeah.
I think Vodacom would also want to
see the back of this.
Yeah, to dislodge from the Makate phenomena, you know, that constantly follows them and, you know, and makes their lives, I'm not sure whether it's unbearable. I mean, with that kind of balance sheet, probably nothing happens to individuals.